Welcome to the 32nd installment of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will continue with our discussion of Positive Commandment 19, the commandment of Birchas HaMazon, the blessings after eating. We will briefly summarize what we discussed yesterday and continue with more laws and other explanations of this commandment. The Rambam tells us that this commandment is to bless God and thank Him after every time we eat. As we explained yesterday, this biblical requirement, as related in the Tosefta, applies only after someone has eaten bread. And so too, it applies only after one has become full, one is satisfied. As the verse expresses it, one shall eat and be satisfied, and then one is required to bless God. This, however, is by biblical decree. Our sages enacted that one should say the blessing after meals, after eating even a smaller amount of bread, even a kazayas, approximately 1 ounce. And so too, they establish blessings before and after any sort of eating, not only bread, but other foods as well. The details are explained many places in the tractate Brachas. As we discussed yesterday, regularly the blessing Hamaitzi for bread, and therefore the blessing after meals, is only said after those types of breads which are made with water and from the 5 grains. There are other forms of bread which do not merit this blessing Hamaitzi, and therefore normally one does not make the grace after meals after eating these types of bread. However, those in an intermediate category, so to speak, under some conditions would require the blessing Hamaitzi, and in even other conditions would not require Hamaitzi, but would require the grace after meals. Let us take as an example a bread which is made out of fruit juice, or out of eggs, which, if this is the primary ingredient, would not require the blessing Hamaitzi beforehand, nor the grace after meals afterwards. However, if one has eaten an amount which is sufficient to fill a regular person, eating an amount which normally people would make a meal out of, or even if one eats a lesser amount, but one is satisfied, one is full after eating this amount, one would nevertheless be required to make the blessing after meals. Furthermore, even if one is not full from the bread, but rather with the bread in combination with those things which accompany the bread, nevertheless, one is required to make the grace to bench after eating this combination. Therefore, as the Alter Rebbe rules in his Siddur, no matter what amount of these foods are eaten, should one become full after eating them, the blessing after meals would be required. Therefore, in order to say the blessing Hamaitzi, one should first wash and take a regular piece of bread and eat approximately 1 ounce. Even if one does not fill up, if one eats a sufficient amount, the amount of 6 beim, approximately the size of an egg, or 2 ounces, one would be required to make the blessing after meals, even if one does not fill up. Therefore, due to all of these details, one should be extremely careful when eating, for example, a sandwich made out of so-called mezonos bread. This bread, when it is made into a meal, although if it is eaten by itself in a small amount, it might in reality be a mezonos, and one would not be required to bench. However, once it is made into a meal, one could easily fill up and be required to bench. And furthermore, if one eats enough, even if one does not fill up, one is required to bench. The same idea would apply to falafel when the pita bread is prepared with such ingredients which would make it normally a berei menei mezonos instead of the regular blessing for bread, or a pizza which the dough of the pizza might be prepared in such a way which would not necessitate the blessing over bread. Nevertheless, should one fill up as a result of consuming these things, even if without the other ingredients one would not fill up, nevertheless the grace after meals is required. And so too, if a sufficient amount is eaten, one would have to make the grace after meals even if one does not fill up. The actual text of the Birchas Hamozen contains four blessings, three of them by biblical ordinance and one by rabbinic ordinance. The Talmud tells us how these blessings were composed. The first blessing was composed by Moses. When the manna came from the heaven, he composed his first blessing, Hazon es hakel, that God feeds everyone. Afterwards, in the days of Yeshua, when Joshua led the Jewish people into the land of Israel, the second blessing was composed, Al ha'aretz v'al hamozein, praising the land of Israel. There were some minor changes in this blessing before and after the land was actually conquered, as described there in the book of Yeshua. The third blessing, which is mainly in the praise of Jerusalem and the temple in Jerusalem, was composed by King David and King Solomon when Jerusalem was chosen and the temple constructed in Yerushalayim. These first three blessings are hinted to in the verse, Uverachta esavai lekecha, that you should bless Hashem. This refers to the first blessing, composed by Moses. Al ha'aretz, on the land, is referring to the second one for the land of Israel. And hateva, the good land, is referring to Jerusalem and the Beis HaMikdash. The second and third blessings are slightly different today than they were at those times. In those times, since we lived at peace in the land of Israel, with the Beis HaMikdash in existence, we prayed that God should maintain its existence and keep it safe and secure. Now that we are exiled from our land and there is no longer a Beis HaMikdash, we ask Hashem to bring us back in peace to the land of Israel with the coming of Mashiach and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The fourth blessing, Hateva Meitiv, was composed in the days of the Mishnah. After a large number of Jewish people were massacred at Beitar, the Romans refused to allow them to be buried. And although they remained quite a while without burial, nevertheless a miracle occurred and the bodies did not rot and did not decompose. When permission was finally granted for them to be buried, they commemorated this event with the blessing Hateva Meitiv, that God does good to the Jewish people and provides for their needs. There are a number of complex laws in those laws pertaining to brachas regarding when one is allowed to change one's place and to move from one area to another in the midst of a meal, and when this would require a new blessing, and so on. Let's say someone has forgotten to bench, they have eaten a meal, and left their place, and realize only when they are on the way that they forgot to say this blessing, when they forgot to say the grace after meals. This question is discussed in the Talmud, and Beis Hillel says in such a case that one can make the blessing where one remembers. Beis Shammai says, however, that one should be strict and go back to the place where one ate in order to say the blessing. Beis Hillel agrees in this case it would be preferable to go back to the original place, but one is not required to do so. The story is told in the Talmud about two students, one of which decided to do like Beis Hillel and one like Beis Shammai. However, one did like Beis Hillel intentionally. He intentionally left the place he was in order to make the blessing when he was on the road. And the other one forgot and nevertheless went back as Beis Shammai indicated. What happened? The one who went back, as Beis Shammai says one should do, found a bag full of gold. The one who behaved like Beis Hillel, and even worse, even beyond what Beis Hillel said, he did so intentionally. He deliberately did not say the grace after meals, and intended to do so on the road. The Talmud tells us he was consumed and attacked by a lion. Why was there such a severe punishment for having this desire to say the grace on the road? The commentaries in Ein Yaakov explain that it was not only the question of making the blessing which was involved here. This student wanted to magnify and sustain this disagreement in the law. In other words, he was trying to spread discontent and argument among the Jewish people by magnifying this disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And this is why he went specifically to make the blessing on the road to show this matter of disagreement. For this, the Ein Yaakov explains, he was punished. for trying to destroy the peace and the togetherness and the unity of the Jewish people. The Talmud continues with the story of Rabba Bar Avchana, who once was together with a caravan and also forgot to bench. He forgot to say the blessing after meals, and he desired to be strict and go back to the place where he had originally eaten. But he thought to himself, if I tell them that I want to go back there because I forgot to bench, they will tell me just say the blessing over here. After all, God is here as well. Therefore, I will tell them that I left a golden object back there, a golden dove. And he did so. He told them, please wait for me. I have to go back. I left a golden dove. The caravan agreed to wait. Rabba Bar Avchana went back to the place where he ate in order to bench. And when he went back there, he found a golden dove, which was miraculously placed there as a reward for his desire to do the mitzvah in the best possible way. And why was there a dove? The Talmud explains that a dove is used to indicate the Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, that just as the dove can evade its enemies and be saved with its wings by flying away, so too we have the mitzvahs, and we can be saved from mishap and injury through performance of the commandments. In Likutei Torah, the Alter Rebbe explains an interesting difference between the first and second blessings of the grace after meals. In the first blessing, we refer to God in indirect terms. We say He is Hazan, the one who feeds the world, the one who provides for the world. Whereas in the second blessing, we begin immediately and say, Neidil Lecha, praised be you, thanks belong to you, speaking to God directly in second person. Why is it that in the first blessing we speak to Him indirectly, and the second blessing we speak to Him more directly by saying, you, Lecha? The Alter Rebbe explains, based on the Talmudic statement we quoted previously, the first blessing was for Lechem Min HaShamayim, was for the heavenly bread, the manna, whereas the second blessing was established only after they entered the land of Israel in the days of Yehoshua. At that time, the manna ceased, and they had to work the land in order to get regular bread, bread which grows from the ground in a natural manner. Although everything comes from Hashem, nevertheless, there is a difference between things coming in a miraculous way as opposed to things coming in a natural way. When things came in a natural way, when people planted, seeded the land, and worked the land and farmed it in order to grow their bread, they had a realization that it was God who was ultimately giving them their food and their sustenance. This, however, was a level of godliness and a level of revelation which they were able to understand, which they were able to comprehend. This is in distinction with the Lechem Min HaShamayim, with the manna which came from heaven. This they knew certainly came from the heavens. But how it happened? This was in such a high, elevated way that it was completely beyond their comprehension, completely beyond their understanding. Therefore, when it comes to the first blessing, which is referring to the manna, we can refer to God only indirectly, since this is a revelation of God, which is completely beyond our comprehension. It is beyond us. Therefore, we cannot speak to God in second person you, since this was such a high revelation, we cannot grasp it concretely with our intellect. The second blessing, however, refers to the natural form of godly revelation, as God reveals Himself in nature, when they were given the bread as a result of their own work and their own efforts in planting and harvesting the land. Therefore, in that case, we can say Atta. We can speak to God in second person you, since this is a level of godliness which we are capable of attaining and comprehending with our own intellectual striving and our own comprehension.